David is beginning her now news conference and update. Let's go to City Hall.
Rosa Escareno, Rich Guidis from the Office of Emergency Management
911.
And Communication, our host. And I want to also call special attention to Viola and Jasmine James of Viola's Day Spa in Beverly. This past evening, we saw a continuation of events over the past few days, however, at a decreased.
Well, some trouble there with the feed, John Williams. I'm not sure exactly what's happening there.
Something like that happened the other day with one of these feeds as well. I'm watching Channel 9.
We got it back.
It's coming back.
Okay. Department of Streets and Sanitation and Department of Buildings. Along corridors, boarding up businesses that have asked for help. And let me just give you a few statistics on the work that they've done over the last few days. They have secured over 175 buildings, commercial corridors, North Avenue on the west side, Madison and Pulaski, commercial corridor, 95th Street, Stony Island, 47th Street, 59th and Wentworth, Ashland, Cottage Grove Corridor, 87th Street, and 83rd and Kedzie, and this list will only grow longer. I also want to commend the efforts of our local aldermen who have all been out at all hours in their wards, assessing the damage, organizing volunteers, helping their business people, and really being what we would expect, true public servants at a time of need in their communities. I do want to also provide an update on our move out of shelter in place and going into phase three in our city's reopening. But let me say a few words first about what my personal observations have been over these last few days. Yesterday, I visited a number of neighborhoods throughout our south and west sides that have been impacted by the damage over these last few days. And just as you hurt, you're seeing all this loss around you. These are businesses that have been gearing up to open tomorrow, but were instead cleaning up debris, sweeping broken glass, and trying to tally the inventory that had been stolen from them. And also, of course, contacting insurance companies. It was hard to see. Hard to take in, painful, because the expressions of frustration and anger and hurt at life's work and savings disappearing in such a callous manner was hard for many of these folks to take in. A lot of tears were shed. One business owner did burst into tears, saying how much her business means to her. And I had to tell her, because I think we both wanted to embrace, but we just touched each other's arms and tried to be there as a support for her in this incredibly painful moment. She just broke down looking at the devastation that had happened in her business. But as hard as all of that was, and it was, I also saw people in communities who care deeply about each other and everyone in their neighborhoods. I was down on the far south side at a strip mall where there was a Jewel, and Alderman Mitchell had done an all call to people in his community. They had been out there to ward off the looters and were successful in some ways but not successful in others. But they were there yesterday and had been there from the early morning to help the workers in that Jewel clean up, board up, and start to restock the shelves so that they could be open and available for people in that neighborhood. And I saw scenes like that with people in communities stepping up and reclaiming the territory, reclaiming the geography in their neighborhoods. And as hard as everything I saw was, when you see moments like that, and that was repeated all over the city, that gives you hope. Block by block, what I saw was, even amidst the damage, was a sense of pride in work in communities and families, of people who know their neighbors and know how to take care of them. And what I saw yesterday was also the power in the bond that truly what it means, exemplifies what it means to be a neighbor, particularly in this time of need. That was a humbling experience to bear witness to the resolve in a simple notion shown in these incredibly compassionate gestures that I saw all over the city. After a lot of conversation with people on the ground whose lives had been shattered, and after a lot of consultation with local businesses, local chambers, local aldermen, and other elected officials, everywhere I went, I asked the question, should we open or should we delay? And to universal acclaim, emphatically, what I heard from people is, Mayor, we have to step forward. We have to open. Even those businesses that may not be able to open tomorrow, those owners told me, Mayor, we've been preparing. Our workers are ready. We need to see our customers. They need to see us being resilient and recovering, even in the face of all the losses over 10 weeks, and particularly the devastating losses over these last couple of days. So I want to tell the city now, after a lot of consultation and, yes, a lot of prayer, we will reopen tomorrow and take this important next step as planned. That means numerous businesses and public spaces will be reopening to the public with limited capacity. These include personal services and retail stores, as well as restaurants and coffee shops with a focus on outdoor space. In light of the events over the past few days, we'll continue the work that we've been doing directly with local chambers of commerce and business service organizations to assist and secure the reopening process, particularly for impacted businesses. These efforts include increased and continued support for our neighborhood business development centers because they can provide the technical assistance to help people get through this difficult time, as well as partnering with these groups to provide volunteers, insurance information, and financial relief options. We'll also help our small businesses connect with our PPE, the personal protective equipment marketplace that we set up way before the events of the last few days. We want to make sure that those businesses are able to take advantage of this resource in partnership with our local startup, Reaply. And as a reminder to everyone as well, we will also still be moving forward with our Open Streets plan to help our small businesses, particularly our neighborhood restaurants, have the extra space they need to safely welcome back customers and get their operations back on track. And I want to remind businesses seeking information to visit our city's reopening website, chicago.gov/reopening. There's a wealth of information and guidelines that you can use to help you navigate this difficult time. These guidelines are across industries. And for those of you who are explicitly represented, we have added a new feature to find guidelines that apply to you. 311 is also standing ready to answer your questions and direct you to the department that can help. We've also been working closely with local chambers to get them up to speed on every aspect of this transition and taking their feedback on what their members need. So they are a resource as well, particularly in communities hardest hit by the events of the last few days. And as part of this effort, we've created a direct line of communication between city officials and neighborhood chambers. And I've got to credit Commissioner Escareno for your hard, important work and the conversations that you've been continuously having with businesses and local chambers to help them know that we are here, we stand at the ready to help them. Businesses should not hesitate to call 311 or contact their local chamber with requests for support, whether it's board up, whether it's cleanup, or anything else that you need. We stand at the ready, and you don't have to wait reach out. I want every business in Chicago to hear me. And when I say that we are 110% dedicated to you successfully reopening safely and securely and getting back up on your feet. We want economic activity to resume peacefully and safely in every single neighborhood, especially those hurting the most. I heard that over and over again in neighborhoods that have been hard hit for years, that they need a lifeline and they need it now. And we need to be there for them. I want to encourage our customers to shop locally, to support those local businesses. That's going to be critically important for them to be able to survive. We want economic activity to resume peacefully in every neighborhood. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that that happens, but doing it, again, safely and securely. As we move forward, we will continue recovery efforts for the businesses that were looted. This will include continued police presence at grocery stores, pharmacies that are vital to their local communities to allow them to restock and rebuild. And we are working diligently with CVS and Walgreens. We have told them, even in this difficult time, when your stores have been hit, we need you in our communities to be there. And we are excited about the efforts of Senator Duckworth to push both of these businesses to provide alternatives to customers who need those vital medicines, who need diapers and formula, so that we can provide alternatives while these stores are on the mend and recovering. And we'll be announcing more on that soon. We'll also be directly engaging with insurers to push claims to be paid now. No red tape, no bureaucracy. Get your agents out in these neighborhoods and start cutting checks. These businesses desperately need the monies to which they are entitled. And we are also in the process of developing a relief fund to supplement and support our small businesses from city and private philanthropy resources. And we'll be announcing the specifics around that fund as soon as we can. As we proceed to phase three tomorrow, I want to level set with everyone about the caution with which we must proceed. And there is a reason why we've called this phase, even before the events of the last few days, cautiously reopening, and why we branded this next phase as Be Safe Chicago. As you will hear from Dr. Arwady, the threat from COVID-19 is very much still with us. And we must maintain all of the public health guidance that got us to this point. And I know we've seen a lot of people gathering in the streets all around the city, some in peaceful protests, others in other forms. But whether you were out there for legitimate and righteous reason or for some other, you have put yourself at risk. That risk is real. It is present, and it will be with us for the foreseeable future. And you need to take the precautions, not only just to protect yourself, but for others in your network, in your home that you care about. Because now you are at heightened risk of COVID-19 infection. Social distancing and hand washing, staying home if you had COVID-19 symptoms or exposure, and wearing a face mask in public is critically important. With our move to phase three, and our public health team are fully aware of the risk of an uptick and a surge in cases. We have to be cautious. We have to be careful, and that means you have to be cautious and careful. Let me also say this. I know that there's a lot of trauma in our city. It existed before any of the events of the last 10 weeks. It's been heightened with COVID-19 and even more so with what we've seen in the devastation of neighborhoods. That trauma is real. It is present. And I want to make sure that people are taking advantage of the resources for free that exist all over the city. I also want to speak to our young people and tell them that we hear you and we see you. And I know that you are concerned and hurt and angry and traumatized as well. But what I would ask of you in particular, because sometimes we adults lose our heads. Sometimes we say things that we should not. Be our example in the way you are with each other, in the way in which you are thinking about how you process the hurt and the fear that you are experiencing. Be the leaders for us and stand up. I say this all the time. Our children are watching. I hope that they are seeing us stand up and stand tall in this moment, because we need to be there for them even more now. We will not let you down. We will be here for you and we will support you, even in this difficult and scary time. And I want to say to our city, the expressions of goodwill that you all have been engaged in every neighborhood, even in this time of your deepest fears, hang on to that feeling. Because that's what will propel us forward. That's what will get us through this difficult time. We will be able to heal and recover from this trauma as we have throughout our history. It may not seem like morning is coming through this dark haze, but it is. And those glimmers of lights that we know exist everywhere in our city, in every neighborhood, every race, color, and creed, please hang on to those moments. They are precious. They are needed now more than ever. Support each other. Check on your neighbors. Make sure your family is safe. Be kind to each other. We need that now more than ever. And now welcome Superintendent Brown.
We will be here for you. Those words from Mayor Lightfoot as she says the city will move into the phase three of reopening. Now, Police Superintendent Brown.
Let me start by some observations. While I was out in the field yesterday observing some peaceful protests and also observing some looting and rock throwing at our officers who were protecting a retail area on the south side. So on the south side, there was a store, a retail store, that was looted several times, and looters had come back for another round of looting, and our officers were there. Commander was in charge protecting that business. Rocks were being thrown at our officers. They were being pelted. They stood there in line with their composure and professionalism. And then they started receiving insults, name-calling toward our officers in their face, shouting, screaming. One of the protesters that were insulting our officers then recognized me and started insulting me, began calling me Superintendent Brown, you're an Oreo, which is a very insulting term to a black person in this country. Kept saying it. Superintendent Brown, you're an Oreo. You're an Oreo. You're an Oreo. And I was thinking to myself, man, you have great intelligence because I love Oreo cookies. And I said that to say this, not to make you laugh. There's no insult you can hurl at our police officers, including myself, that would make us less professional, less ethical, that would make us do something that would embarrass this city. No insult. And there's no assault you can mete out toward us. You were throwing rocks, and our officers stood there professional. So if you want to insult me, go right ahead. I'm a black man who's very comfortable in his own skin, and I've been black a long time. Another observation I had, there was an interesting exchange with one of our officers who were on the protest line. He saw a black woman in the crowd. It was a white officer, Chicago police officer, saw a black woman in the crowd who seemed concerned, had that concerning look. She was part of a peaceful protest, but she had a concerning look. Officers broke the line. He went in, and sorry to say this, Dr. Awadi, he gave her a hug. It was an extended hug. And that was caught on camera. And I thought that that was one of the best examples, barring COVID exposure that an officer could show of this noble profession. Another example, there was looting at a particular scene yesterday. One of our officers gave chase to one of the looters. They escaped, got in a car, and another officer was run over by the escaping looters. We captured these looters, recovered a gun in the car, and the officer was transported to the hospital. I visited him and his family to console them and encourage them. And the officer said, soon as it's over, let's come by the house and we'll have a couple of drinks together. And I told him, well, I'm a teetotaler, so it won't be long with me, but thank you so much for your bravery and courage during this uncertain time.
You're listening to the City News Conference in the wake of the protests and the rioting in recent days on WGN Chicago.
You have made this city so proud, working tirelessly, risking your safety to protect persons and property in this fine city. Let me also share our resource deployments. We have both protected freedom of speech, a sacred right we hold dear, while at the same time having no tolerance, given no quarters to criminal behavior, to looting, to injury, to harm to our citizens. And I've heard, why not call it the National Guard, Soup? Why not get the National Guard patrolling our neighborhoods? Really? The National Guard patrolling our neighborhoods. So let's revisit how we got here. We got here for an inappropriate use of force in Minneapolis. We got here through police officers not following their training and positionally asphyxiating a person till they died, caught on tape, and we've seen it over and over again to all of our embarrassment. And now you want to call in the National Guard who are not suited to use force in the ways all of our residents expect. All the hard work that our profession has learned and trained and been sued and there have been previous incidents, we want to turn over to a National Guard that's not trained, has no connection to our neighborhoods, have not been engaged, who have not built trust to bring us back to the place we started. That's how we got here. No training, no connection to the community, no effort to build trust. And now we want to turn that back over to start over again. We're not considering that. The looters' tactics is interesting as another subject. They peacefully protest, and then they end the protest, while all at the same time, factions of peaceful protest are in the crowd ready to loot as soon as peaceful protests end or walk back. And then our officers have to both navigate First Amendment sacred rights while at the same time no tolerance for looting. And we have to move our resources at split-second moments across this fine city. We have to pre-deploy resources, anticipating movements. I'm really proud of our commanders. I'm really proud of our deputy chiefs and our chiefs who have been very, very flexible, fluid, and strategic in our deployments. My thoughts, we need your help in rebuilding. We need your help helping businesses board up their windows. We need your help with rumors on social media that fuel some of the divisiveness in our cities, that have fueled some of the rioters anxiety about what's happening, whether or not we're bringing in the National Guard to arrest them, who have no training in use of force in our city. This is fueling more and more anxiety, more and more anger. We need your help. I know this is a big ask, but the best thing you can help us with, stay off social media. Don't buy into the rumors. Help us deal in reality, in facts, as it relates to what's happening on the ground. Here's the last takeaway I'll give. You know, I was in the South Side, headed back across town to the ELC to get an update, and I saw a black business owner with a sign that just said, "I love you," with a heart. And he was blaring some music I could barely make out, but it reminded me of 1970s R&B, so I had to pull over. So I told my team to pull over, let me get out and interact with this business owner. We got a chance to speak briefly. He was playing Marvin Gaye, "What's Going On." He was a young man. I said, "Man, your parents must have raised you right." And he began talking about the looting and how he was standing there with a sign that said, "I love you," so that he can put forth a positive message to those who would protest, who would loot. He invited me to come back. He had an art studio, and my daughter is artsy. I said, "I'll bring my daughter back for one of your classes." And I walked away hearing the last parts of the song. What's going on? Only love can conquer hate, Brother Marvin said at the end of that song. Google "What's Going On" by Marvin Gaye, young people, and let me know what's going on. Next, I'll turn it over to
Police Superintendent David Martin there, David Brown, following Mayor Lightfoot with a touching story about a small business owner and a sign of love. We'll throw it back to John Williams, and some others are going to speak here. Dr. Arwady and others likely will follow. And then once they return to the question portion of the news conference for Mayor Lightfoot, we will return to that.
Steve Bertrand?
Yeah, I misspoke earlier, said the mayor was at City Hall. She's at OEMC, and she's beginning to take questions now from reporters. It's another one of those setups where it's difficult to hear the questions. I'm sorry about
right,
that.
I'm going to bear with this for a while, but okay. this is bad form. They should know you can't understand the question.
Right.
Why don't we start with the curfew?
Sure. We assess that every single day, multiple times a day, and the superintendent and I and our teams are going to be talking later to make some determinations about, do we maintain the status quo? Do we expand it? Do we shrink it? So we'll let people know as soon as possible if there's going to be any changes as to that. But it's something, obviously, I don't enter into lightly. A curfew feels like a momentous occasion to me. And I spent a lot of time thinking about whether or not this was a necessary thing. And we just believe that giving the police department that additional tool was helpful. Now, obviously, people who aren't law-abiding don't care about a curfew, but I think it gives a measure of security for those who do, and also gives the police department extra resources to be able to kind of move people off the streets in a peaceful way. But it's something that we looked at every single day since we made the announcement, and I hope that we get to a place soon where we can lift it entirely.
Back to the National Guard. Mm-hmm. A question from Block Club. Why are you providing downtown with the special protections of the National Guardsmen and checkpoints when more residential neighborhoods are getting hit hard by members of
gangs? Well, let me just push back on that. And there's no special protection for any neighborhood. We're trying to provide necessary resources and security for every neighborhood. And as the superintendent, I think, eloquently said, and let me try this again. The National Guard is trained in military tactics. They are not trained in local policing. And for every voice that says, bring in the National Guard as if this is going to solve and cure our ills, I have heard an equal number, if not more, saying, I don't want the National Guard in my neighborhood. We are grateful for the resources that the governor provided for us, and we are putting them to their highest and best use, which is not patrolling the streets in our neighborhoods. while the tensions between the community and the police are real, and we certainly don't ignore them, there's been a lot of time and resources and effort spent over many years to build authentic relationships between the police and the communities that they serve. We are not going to throw all of that out the window and introduce people who are well-intended but don't know about policing in the local level. Their knowledge and training around use of force is very different than what ours is at the local police level. And I'll just say again, I've watched very carefully of some of my fellow mayors who have also had the opportunity to have National Guard resources in their city. And while I'm never going to criticize another mayor because I don't walk in their shoes just as they don't walk in ours, I have watched with great horror and caution when National Guard troops have been embedded with local police. Their instincts and their training, that muscle memory, is different than ours. They don't know about the use of force and the level of restraint that we teach our officers. And what I've seen in other cities across the country is where the National Guard is used to supplant the local police. It's tragic, the results, injuries, and even death. We don't need to bring that in our city. Mayor. Superintendent, I don't know if you want to add more to that, what you've already said on that.
Yes, I just want to add this briefly. You know, the feature of de-escalation in policing is one that came out of so many tragic incidents across the country. The idea of time and distance. Military, National Guards, don't practice de-escalation or time and distance. Well, what is likely the outcome when rocks are thrown at National Guard? When shovels and other implements, hammers, when shots are fired from a crowd at the National Guard? Likely not the restraint, the patience that our officers have utilized. They don't have the training in any of those areas or the experience. And to ask them to come into our neighborhoods and be faced with those critical split-second decisions without the training is obviously asking for more of the same. It's how we got here. It's why we're here with departments that don't practice the best standards in training and restraint and de-escalation or even less lethal force that we all have as a tool here in Chicago and across the country that we've practiced and practiced. We did it through, obviously, a lot of criticism, a lot of failures, even lawsuits and payouts. And National Guard hadn't had any of that experience. So to get them from point A to point B, from 0 to 100 miles an hour as it relates to our use of force, particularly deadly force, it's asking too much, and it's wrought with failure.
Was there a directive, Superintendent, not to use tear gas to disperse any of the looters on Sunday and Saturday evening? Is it better to protect looters from discomfort or the businesses from damaged property and lost merchandise? That's from Craig Wall from ABC 7.
It's just not an accurate portrayal of what we've done. We, from day one, we had pepper spray as part of our toolkit. Tear gas, particularly CS gas, is highly flammable. They were already starting fires. Why would you add more flammable material to an already incendiary situation? So we have to be smart, and I know this is a pretty much education to the question, but we have to be smart. We can't add more flammable toxins and toxins to an already planned strategy by those that would do us harm to burn up cars, to burn down businesses. Why would you add tear gas that's highly flammable to that? So we use pepper spray from day one. We continue to have that as a tool, and we have used it pretty much every instance where it was appropriate.
Mayor, from WBON Radio, Alderman Dowell posted a message on her social media after Sunday's destruction on the South and West Side. It reflects the outrage of the African-American community at their neighborhoods being left unprotected as a perimeter of the checkpoints established around the Central Business District. Your administration denies this, but many of us witnessed it firsthand. Again, I'm reading this question. What was the strategy behind sending approximately 100 police officers to the intersection of North and Wells in Old Town to arrest 12 protesters while leaving the mall at 55th and Wentworth to be looted and destroyed when it could have been easily protected by the police station located on the same street.
So here's what I will caution again and again and again. Seeing a snapshot of a scene without understanding and really seeing the entire context, and then making a conclusion about what was and what wasn't done is highly dangerous. And we've addressed the Old Town situation, but I'll address it again. What we saw, I think this was Sunday night, was a crowd of peaceful protesters who started in another area of the city and then continued on through Old Town. And what our experience was on Friday and Saturday and again on Sunday was that the peaceful protest starts during the daytime hours. But there are people who join, who are embedded into that, who are not peaceful. Again, we've seen people bring weapons to seemingly peaceful protests. So what we started to see as that crowd gathered, as it was marching, and then it ended in Old Town, was a concern about those very elements. And I'll let the superintendent get in specifically. So the snapshot that was broadcast was the very end of a circumstance where absolutely we brought appropriate number of police officers to make sure that the concerns and the element that was in that crowd were not going to get out of control. And I've said this several times, and again, I don't want to play police superintendent here. But given the level of provocation that some of the people in this city, who some are here, some who came in from outside, to try to provoke our police officers into a confrontation. We're not sending five officers into a crowd of 50 or 100 people. That is a recipe for disaster. I've had people question, well, why riot gear, Mayor? Because people were throwing rocks and bottles and bringing weapons to these seemingly peaceful protests. I believe in preparation. And those police officers have a right to go home to their families just as all of us do. So we are going to provide them with the equipment and support that they need to quell these crowds, to do it with the least amount of force possible. And that's what's been taking place all over the city. And I make no apologies for that. And so I caution members of the media in particular to get the full story, to not draw conclusions and inflame people the way that we're seeing happen on social media. That's not being responsible. And ask the right and hard questions, to be sure, but ask for the context before you make a conclusion and then broadcast it and use your platform to inflame people in ways that doesn't tell the whole story. That was a long hours peaceful protest that was starting to turn in a different direction. And just like people in Inglewood and people in Austin want peace in their neighborhoods, so do people in Old Town and Uptown and Rogers Park. Everywhere, people want to feel safe. They want the reality of safety. And that is what we have been endeavoring to do for hours on end, 24 hours for the last several days. And I'll echo what the superintendent said. Given what our police officers and our fire and EMS folks have faced, our city workers who are going out to try to help residents in need and being pummeled and verbally abused, our people have shown incredible restraint because they know that what they're doing is in service of the people who are the majority, the overwhelming majority, who are good people, who love their city, love their neighborhood.
Mayor Bill Cameron. You're listening to live coverage of Mayor Lightfoot's news conference here after yet another day of protest and perhaps a day in anticipating of further protesting tonight.